Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word for us on this Christ the King Sunday is taken from the epistle reading. I'd just like to bring out a few of the things that are said here as we get started. The Apostle Paul writes in Colossians chapter 1 that Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. This is God's word. Friends in Christ, one of the challenges of Christ the King Sunday is that on balance, Americans do not have a very favorable opinion of kings. After all, historically, we broke away from being governed by a monarchy. So the idea of being subject to a king is one that meets with resistance, to say the least. Now, there's still a fascination that many people have toward kings and queens, for that matter. What various royal family members do still grabs the headlines worldwide, yet strangely, their wealth and their power has conferred on them more of a celebrity status than anything, providing a kind of regal reality show for consumers. But while human nature bristles at the thought of a kingly ultimate authority over us, or consigns modern monarchies to nothing more than entertainment, there is something inside of us that responds pretty strongly to the idea of a good king. A king who has the best interest of his people at heart. Our imaginations are stirred by the possibility of a ruler who really cares. A monarch who will not only make wise decisions, but even take up arms to defend his people if necessary. Two of the 20th century's greatest British authors understood this very well and communicated it in their work. And one was J.R.R. Tolkien, who in his epic work, The Lord of the Rings, created a character named Aragorn, who was very much a king in disguise, a valiant warrior in the face of evil, but who also had the peculiar ability to heal the wounded. Then there was his friend C.S. Lewis, who wrote in the following classic book, Mere Christianity, these are Lewis's words, "Enemy-occupied territory, that is what the world is. Christianity is the story that the rightful king has landed, you might say landed in disguise, and is calling all of us to take part in a great campaign of sabotage." The writing of these Christian authors uncovers a profound, powerful truth. The Bible is the narrative of the rightful king who has landed, who has come to wage war against evil and win. A king who rules with healing in his hands. This king is Jesus, only Son of the Father, and his greatness is such that our instinctive move is to bow the knee before him. And indeed, Scripture forecasts that the day is coming when every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. And so, on this Christ the King Sunday, we're met with an epistle lesson that is perfectly on point. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Christian church in Colossae, speaks of Jesus in a way that could be compared to bringing us, his readers, into the throne room. Paul is bringing us in and inviting us to behold the true King, to see the Lord of all for who he truly is. So as you are brought into the presence of the true king, listen again to this description given by the apostle. He writes, Jesus is the image of the firstborn, the image of the invisible God. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. Okay. Now let's pause for a second and really hear what Paul is saying. Jesus, our rightful king, is described as the image of the invisible God. In other words, he is God in the flesh. God with skin on. God who is knowable. In fact, to know King Jesus is to know God as far as our minds will allow us. And attached to this is the remarkable truth that Jesus created everything that you see and don't see. Of course, with his Father and the Holy Spirit, but we're told directly here that all things were created through and for Jesus, the image and word of God. The Apostle Paul makes sure to point out that all things includes thrones, dominions, powers, and authorities. Jesus is sovereign over each one of those because they were his idea in the first place. Jesus was not exaggerating when he said on the day of his ascension, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. That's King Jesus, your King and mine. But there's even more. Paul writes that Jesus is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. And again, we have to stop and say, hang on just a minute. Are you taking this in? Paul is saying Jesus is not just king of a nation. He's king of creation. He holds the universe together. He orders reality and keeps it all from flying apart. And he is the head of the body, the church, the full number of gathered believers who receive and deliver the king's gifts to the world. And he is the firstborn of the dead. Jesus is the beginning of resurrected life, which means he's not just revived for a while only to die again, but he's risen from death never to die again. Jesus is king. He's powerful, preeminent, to use Paul's word, beyond our comprehension. And so with the power and the majesty and the authority of this king in full sight, it would be enough for us to be a citizen of his holy city. It would be enough to be a subject in his kingdom. It would be enough to maybe even be a servant in his court. But that wasn't nearly enough for this mighty monarch. We are told here that in Jesus all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to him all things, whether in earth or heaven, making peace through the blood of his cross. King Jesus, the creator, the preserving force of the universe, the origin of all earthly power, did the most extraordinary thing ever seen. He came down from his place of rule and authority and set aside the might that keeps the solar systems in motion and became a vulnerable, killable human being. You know why he did that. He did that because his own divine justice required that sin be condemned and punished. But rather than make his people pay, us pay, he climbed down from his throne and he laid down on the cross to take the sinner's place. My place. And yours. He is indeed the beginning. The firstborn from the dead. He is for you the beginning of new life. The beginning of purity. The beginning of holiness. The beginning of faith and bright hope. King Jesus is the beginning of reconciliation, the beginning of the peace that comes from a clear conscience. And that peace was not purchased with any army that he sent into battle, but the shedding of his own blood. It's Christ the King Sunday. Rejoice that you have this King. King Jesus has absolute power. Therefore, it is right to be awestruck and to bend the knee and submit to him. The same King Jesus made peace by the blood of his cross. Therefore, he is also worthy of your love. And so let us pray. Lion of Judah on the throne, we shout your name. Let it be known that you are the King of Kings. You are the Prince of Peace. May your kingdom's reign never cease. Amen.